And joining us right now at PMP Network is Cheryl Ladd. You all remember the lovely Cheryl Ladd as Chris Monroe in the classic series Charlie's Angels. She's also been, of course, on Two Guys and a Girl as Briggs' mom in many kind of roles. We're going to talk to her about some of those things and also some health issues that you may have, too. That'll be coming up right here on PMP Network. How are you, Cheryl?
I'm very well.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I used to be a huge Charlie's Angels fan.
And I guess
you know, it goes back a long way. It's interesting to note that it's having kind of a renewal because of the reruns and also the movie.
Yes. I'm getting lots of fan mail from people that are seeing it for the first time, which is really fun.
Yeah, so I assume that it's mostly positive? All positive.
Yes, all positive. They're loving it. It's so entertaining.
Yeah, it's a great show. I always liked it. You know, they called it Jiggle TV or whatever, but I was entertained by it. I always thought it was fun.
I know. Compared to the things that are on television now, it's pretty tame, isn't it?
Yeah, my kids, of course, all know Bosley because Bosley was the voice of the grandpa on Rats,
that's
on
right.
The Rugrats.
Yeah, the little Rugrats, yeah. That's right.
Unfortunately, he passed away.
Yes.
And can you bring any kind of memories of him to us?
Oh, he was just delightful. When I first started the show, Farrah had left, and I came on the show, of course, very nervous, hoping to be accepted. And David Doyle came and embraced me and took me under his wing and showed me all the ropes and just had me laughing and just took care of me the whole time. He was like a wonderful uncle. He just kept me on my toes and just helped me so much and kept me laughing.
That was one of the questions I had, actually, because you were replacing Farrah Fawcett, who was, you know, a national poster woman and very, very popular. And I was wondering how especially Jacqueline Smith and Kate Jackson treated you when you went onto the studio lot.
I think they were a bit shell-shocked from what happened with Farrah, because they had a huge hit show, and Farrah only did it for a year, and then she wanted to leave. I don't think they really knew what was going on or if their show was going to be able to stay on the air. I think they were quite nervous, very professional. But I think, you know, I wouldn't say it was the warmest reception I ever had, but it wasn't cold either. It was just everybody was a bit shell-shocked about that they were in this circumstance in the first place. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Now, how long did it take everybody to warm up and become friendly?
Oh, within a show or two. Especially after the first episode that I was in came on and we were number one. The ratings for the show actually went up when I joined the show that first year that I came on.
Hmm.
So everybody was much more relaxed.
Yeah. I would assume, though, that must have been a lot of pressure on you.
Oh, it was an enormous pressure,
yeah. But you handled it.
I did.
Made you a stronger person. Yeah. What did you think of the Charlie's Angels movie that came out?
I liked it very much. I saw it twice.
You did?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of hats off and reverent enough to the old show, but it was also very modern and hip and cool, as it should be for this, 2000. Absolutely. I thought they did a great job.
Were you approached at all about maybe a cameo on the show?
Uh-huh. Yeah. They asked us if we all wanted to do it. It was kind of an all-or-nothing thing, and I wanted to do it. Some of the other girls didn't want to, so it didn't work out.
Kind of too bad.
Too bad.
That would have been a lot of fun.
I thought it would have been fun.
Yeah. Well, they didn't want just one at a time, huh?
Nope.
Because that would have been kind of fun to identify through the movie.
Well, I thought so, too, but who knows what they're going to do in the sequel.
Yeah, that's true, and they are doing a sequel.
Yes, they are.
And that's what one thing they do when things are a big hit, they just copy it.
Well, I'm such a Drew Barrymore fan, you know, because she and I worked in Poison Ivy together.
That's right, yeah.
And
that was a good movie.
Yeah. Oh, it was a strange movie.
Yeah, you've done so many things with the TV and the movies, and most recently the acting with on theater with Annie Oakley.
Yes, on Broadway.
Yeah.
That was a lifelong dream come true.
Replacing Bernadette Peters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I did it for 6 months.
Yeah, did you enjoy that?
Oh, it was heaven. It was absolute heaven. It's one of the greatest roles written for the American theater for a woman, and 7 hit songs from the one show. Irving Berlin caught a few good tunes for that show.
Huh. You know, it's interesting looking through your biography to find out that you were the voice of Melody on the cartoon series Josie and the Pussycats.
Now that's a movie.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you've seen the movie.
I haven't seen it.
Is it something that you're curious about?
Not as much as certainly I would have been about Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
It was my very first job when I came to California.
Wow.
Singing Voice of Melody.
Well, you know, it's interesting to note your career could have gone in so many directions. I know you're a great singer. I've actually heard it. You've done some albums, as a matter of fact, and you can act, and you're also can do comedy. And as a matter of fact, I think that if the Ken Berry series you did had taken off, possibly you would have been
an entirely different career, huh?
Well, Steve Martin and Terry Garr were in it, and both of them obviously went down that road.
Yeah.
And it could have been something that that you were comfortable with. I would assume even now, if you found the right sitcom vehicle, that you could still go in that direction.
Oh, most definitely. A couple years ago, I did a Jesse episode, and I played this beer distributor person, and nobody recognized me in the first half of the show because I had this funny accent, you know. And it was really fun to play.
It's kind of fun.
I look like the gal from Fargo in it. But yeah, I love comedy. I would love to do much more comedy.
Do people still recognize you all the time from the street?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I would think even more now that it's playing in syndication everywhere.
It's amazing. Yeah, it is amazing that it has lasted this long and has remained so popular. And now the clothes are back in style.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Charlie's Angels, does that play overseas quite a bit too?
Oh, yes, all over the world.
So where are you? What's your farthest fan mail?
Oh, my gosh. I think the Eastern Bloc countries are always amaze me when I get something from Russia or Czechoslovakia, somewhere deep in the Ukraine, you get some wonderful fan letter from somebody who is a Charlie's Angels fan.
You know, it's interesting, when I was looking through your biography, one of the people we've had on this show who wrote a book at the time was Jerry Stahl, who wrote a book called Permanent Midnight, and came as a guest on the show, a very interesting character. And that book was made into a movie starring Ben Stiller. You actually starred in it as well.
Uh-huh.
You played Pamela in that movie.
Yeah.
Quite an incredible movie. What was it like to make?
Well, I very much wanted to be involved because what I thought was very important, and the filmmakers did too, and really captured it, was what drug addiction really is, as opposed to glamorizing it, which I think, unfortunately, often Hollywood movies, with all the good intent of telling the story, they tend to glamorize or make this person a hero. And in the end, he's a hero because he gets cleaned up, but boy, they really show you what drug abuse does to you, and drug addiction and heroin addiction in particular.
Yeah.
It's really a frightening, awful, horrendous thing. And you get to actually see that. And I thought that was really important, and how it destroys lives, not just the person who's doing the drugs, but all the people that love them.
Right. And for all the children out there listening,
you
want to avoid those if your friends tell you, hey, it's cool, let's try some.
No, it is not cool.
Say no.
It's kind of cool.
Nancy Reagan had it right when she said, just say no. You know, one of the things that you've also done, pretty much, I think it might have even been when you were doing Charlie's Angels, you did a movie called When She Was Bad on ABC about child abuse.
Yes.
And I guess that you've been an ambassador for Child Help USA for a long time.
Since 1979.
Yeah, that's a kind of thing that, you know, as a parent, I'm just shocked that it even exists, and it's terrible. And it's something that if you can take an active role in combating it, then it's a great thing to do.
Oh, it's so important. Child abuse is an epidemic in our country, and we're really not getting a handle on it. And although people are much more informed, I think people find it difficult to report it and really recognize it when they see it. And although it's getting better, that part of it is actually getting better.
Hmm.
But boy, there are a lot of abused children and neglected children.
I always tell my two children, I have a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, to appreciate the fact they come from a family where people care.
Yeah,
and
value them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is the greatest blessing, which is why I got involved in the first place. I had loving, wonderful parents who valued me and made me feel important and like I was somebody and that I mattered on the planet. And when you have that to start out with, you know, you can scale the highest mountain. I mean, you really can. You really
Absolutely.
Feel like somebody wanted you to be here. And there are a lot of children that wake up every morning worried about what horrible thing is going to happen to them that day, you know?
Absolutely. Parents can instill the muscle of confidence in their kids, or they can chop them down and make them crippled. Now, you have children as well, right?
Yes, grown. I have a daughter and a stepdaughter.
Uh-huh. I know that your daughter Jordan has done acting. Are both the girls in theater? Or
Lindsay also has done acting, and Lindsay's also a musician, songwriter, singer. Uh-huh.
Because Jordan was in the movie with you, Every Mother's Worst Fear on USA. That must have been exciting to work with her.
It was so much fun. She had auditioned for it. You know, I didn't even know she was going in to talk to them about it. And they wanted her, and she got the part before they called me up and asked me if I would like to work with her.
Huh.
And I said, "What do you? Well, yeah." And they said, "Good, because, you know, she came in here and knocked us out." And I said, "Well, that kind of works for me since she is my daughter."
Yes.
We had a great time. And she'd done a lot of work before then, so I think she was kind of ready to feel like she had, she was ready to work with her mom.
Hmm. Talking with Cheryl Ladd, who was the first woman to ever receive the Hubert H. Humphrey Humanitarian Award by the Washington, D.C. Touchdown Club for your continuing philanthropic endeavors. And you're calling to talk to us about something today that baby boomers out there like myself, may not be that knowledgeable about. April is... Presbyopia Awareness Month, and since it's tough for me to even say it, understanding it's even more difficult. But tell us a little bit about the problem and why you're here to talk to us about it.
Well, I had presbyopia and didn't know it, and most baby boomers who start to get it are in denial of it, and I'm unfortunately have to inform everyone that everyone will eventually get presbyopia. It's the naturally occurring aging process of the eye. And I first started noticing it when I would go to a dimly lit restaurant and my arm was not long enough to see the menu anymore. And I just found it very difficult to read fine print. If it wasn't bright, bright, bright light, I couldn't read anything fine. And I never had eye problems my entire life. I had 20/20 vision. So it was a bit disturbing. But like most people, I denied it. And then I ran out and bought 19 pairs of these little glasses you get, magnifying glasses that you get at the drugstore, and they were all over the house but never seemed to be in a room where I was. It was making me crazy, and it was really interesting. The Verilux people called me and to talk to me about this because they wanted to inform people of what this was, presbyopia, and they did a whole survey of baby boomers and all of these things, and they make this progressive lens, and they wanted people to know that there were options for them out there that that can really help them. The thing about these progressive lenses is that they give you your most natural eyesight back, because without having a big line, you know, the old bifocals that your grandparents and great-grandparents used to wear and used to frighten small children because their eyes made all these, got really big and looked very strange in them. These glasses, you can put them in the hippest, coolest lenses, and they're... if you look down in the lens, you can read. It magnifies reading. Then it also can correct in that mid-vision where you're working on your computer or looking at your dashboard. And then if you need some correction for distance, they can do that also, all in the one lens without it looking like anything. It's fantastic.
And it should be noted that there's no actual approved surgical alternative to correct this either.
No. Even if you have surgery for your distance difficulties and those sort of things, your eye, you'll still get presbyopia, and you will still have to wear glasses to help it, because right now I think they're working on some sort of laser surgery for that, but they haven't won that battle yet, and it's quite a ways away, I think, from being anything we're going to have available to us.
Now, is there a website for the company that they can go to?
Yes, it's Verilux, VARILUX.com. Lots of very useful information and some fun information about glasses and options and things that you can do.
I must admit, I've tried contact lenses in my life, and I just do not feel comfortable with anything near my eyes.
You know what? I find it very difficult. I suppose if I have to do a part in which I have to not wear glasses for whatever reason and have to read something, I'm either going to have to memorize it or wear one contact lens, I think. But it's too bad, because in my day-to-day life now, I just throw on my progressive lenses and I can get through my day. And it really makes a difference for me.
Yeah, I just I wish that I could use them, because I was on television at one point and they said, you know, get rid of the glasses, but... I never felt comfortable with them on.
A lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah.
The glasses today are very cool now. Have you seen all the new ones without the outside rim? You know, they're just the glass.
Yeah. I've got a pair like that now.
Three little wires, and you hardly even notice they're there.
Yeah, that's what I have. They're very light, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so comfortable.
Yeah, I like them a lot. Now, if folks want to see you in terms of TV, movies, theater, what are you up to?
Well, I'm taking a little bit of a break because I did 6 months on Broadway. My husband and I are actually working on a book that I can't talk about yet, but I'd love to call you back and talk to you about when it's time. It's a nonfiction book.
Absolutely.
About an issue and something I think that will be beneficial to society and pet lovers.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Pet lovers. Well, I'm one of those.
I'll just tantalize you with a little hint.
Oh, I'm a big pet lover myself. Good. And I will even tell my dog that you're writing a book.
All right, good.
But you take care of yourself.
And it was great talking to you this morning.
You too, and hopefully we'll talk again when the book comes out.
Great.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.